Hey, thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. On this episode, I'm sharing a conversation I had with Lori Ferentz about everything from intrinsic time to the birth of the spiritual internet to the antithesis of masterminding. I'll put that on for you in just a minute. But before I forget, a few things about the show. I've set up a Patreon page, so if you're loving the podcast and you want to find out how you can support my time in producing these episodes, please check out patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. I'd like to start answering your questions on the show, possibly even record a mailbag episode dedicated to Q&A. So if you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast, one you feel a lot of other listeners would like to hear the answer to as well, please send it in. Also, if you've had a good experience with the Oracle segment that happens at the end of the show, please, by all means, write and tell me about it. Either shoot me a message on Facebook or Twitter, or you can always email me, contact@sladeroberson.com. So, be thinking about a question or a concern you have right now. It might be answered by the show itself, but hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on at the end, after the final links and credits, and leave you with that extra channeled message. Okay, back to the show. I'm your host, Slade Roberson. For over 10 years, I've been a professional intuitive and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. One of the things that excites me most about doing this show is getting to speak with others who write and teach and live these subjects. So if you know someone you think would be a great guest for this show, I'd love to hear your recommendation. Maybe it's you. Maybe you have a story you'd like to share. That would be cool. Get in touch with me. On this episode, I'm sharing an interview with Lori Ferentz. Lori is a professional intuitive who guides leaders, visionaries, and evolved souls through transformational change. She supports those venturing into unknown territory in their lives and businesses as an advisor and strategic project director. She's the producer and host of Leader's Call to Adventure, which features the inspiring stories of those who have taken the road less traveled. And as an athlete, she embraces the spirit of adventure through running. She's currently training for a 100-mile ultra marathon. Here's Lori.
Actually, I was thinking of something the other day about how things that we desire on a deep level can come to us when we let go of how they come to us. And I don't know, several years ago, over 20 years ago, we can rewind a bit, right? Had asked for a shaman or a druid to come into my life. And what I didn't realize at the time, actually a week later that happened. But what I didn't realize at the time was that person was really a gift for me to understand and to see myself as a shaman. And see those abilities and connections within myself. And so while I was asking for that, I got that. I think part of that desire, being somebody that is very, you know, looking at nature as, well, we are part of nature. And that the power and the divinity of being physical and being in physical form and the divinity within ourselves and the world around us. And I was raised hiking in the national parks in Canada and spending a lot of time outdoors. So that's always been a big thing for me. When I really started walking a conscious spiritual path and had put that request out there, I think probably around the same time, I had thought, well, wouldn't it be great to meet a wise woman or a shaman or somebody of indigenous background that held that knowledge and that would gift me with, say, feathers so that I could make power tools to use in my work. And had that desire for well, probably a couple of decades. Like, what is this, you know, what is this going to happen? I'm going to meet this person or somebody, you know, it's going to come across my path. And this is how this is all going to unfold. And what I didn't realize was through trail and ultra running, and spending a lot of time in nature itself, I went through this whole phase last year of, I couldn't go out for a run without finding a feather from some powerful bird on the path, and was gathering feathers, you know, all the time, and had to ask myself, well, why was I looking for a teacher or somebody, a keeper of wisdom, to gift me with a feather? When really that feather would come from the animal itself, and thereby taking that intermediary out of the picture and really opening up to the energy and the connection with the spirit of the animal. Yeah.
So it's like you asked for a shaman and you got made a shaman.
Or I woke up to the fact that I had these abilities or could understand, get some context around what all this was. In considering, you know, the questions that you sent me by email about origin story and how did I get to where I am, I think it's been a process of unfolding. And at the same time, I think I have honed in on one particular event, but it's been waking up to, like, I think we come into this life, we're souls, and we've had all these experiences prior to being embodied in this physical timeline, and that it's a process of remembering who we are.
I'm curious, what kind of work did you do before you became a professional intuitive?
Okay, yeah. So that's why we're getting to the story that I sort of tracked, right? And thinking about my childhood and things that happened to me, as I'm sure have happened to a lot of the spiritually inclined listeners that we have for the podcast, and about my childhood and about having a sense that things that were talked about or things that we learned didn't necessarily reflect all of the reality around us, and a sense that maybe even things that we didn't see, the invisible world, would hold more than we could imagine, and that there would be good reason to receive information or to, I guess as a child, it's pretty scary. I know that when I was little, I would, you know, lay in bed at night and sometimes I would hear a voice, audible voice, and wondering where that was coming from, with nobody physical in the room, right? So there was fear because there was no context around where that was coming from. I didn't grow up in a particularly religious or necessarily spiritual family, although I think from my mom's side, there was a very strong heart-based connection to Christ, although not in a sort of traditional religious sense. And so the idea of prayer was something that I had come across, although it was not part of a traditional sort of path of going to church and that sort of thing. And at the same time, I felt very alone in knowing things that other people didn't know and not really understanding why I knew them. And people sort of thinking, well, this is just some strange kid. Why does she know this stuff? Or, you know, where is she getting this stuff? And I would be having a really strong degree of certainty about things that I probably shouldn't know anything about. By all sorts of.
Can you think of an example of something that you would have espoused as a, you know, pontificated on as a little oracle child?
Little oracle child. I think it would, and I'm just trying to think if there was any particular topic or anything like that that would I think it was probably seeing how people were reacting around me, within my family, and the dynamics around, because I was an only child, we spent a lot of our holiday time with my mom's parents and my grandparents. And I can always remember, I don't know if there was a topic per se, but I remember that my opinions or my feelings on things would be sort of laughed at, or not really. I don't know if it was necessarily laughed at, but scoffed at, like somebody that I'm very young, so why should we listen to that person? And at the same time, feeling like, well, hey, I see something here within a situation. I don't remember a particular thing, but maybe it's like the dynamics in a conversation or something like that. And wanting to share what I'm seeing and then basically feeling, well, no, you're too young. You don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, just kind of go away. And I'm feeling very sad and crying and feeling very alone. And at the same time, sort of trying to unwind all that, feeling small, feeling, you know, questioning my value, questioning my self-worth, feeling very alone, at the same time, feeling truth. And knowing what that felt like on a deep level. And I think that connection, although growing up that way and seeing things beyond and kind of being this person that sees things that other people don't see, and yet still being a performer, I guess, very type A in certain ways. I was raised to be a performer and to excel and to excel academically and to do well in school and to be a good girl and all that stuff. And of course, I always had a rebel side. So I had my ways of dealing with all that and wasn't always golden. But I remember making magical cakes with my friend she's been my friend for, gosh, almost my entire life. And us having this kind of spiritual sisterhood and making magical cakes and talking about, you know, the guides that were telling us, you know, what to put in these cakes, and a sense of play and wonder, but also of the real magic of what we were doing. And you know, laying on her trampoline at night and staring up at the stars and seeing things moving in the sky that weren't necessarily stars, and not really having a sense of what those things were, but knowing that they were something, and that if we told other people about them, they'd just think, well, they're just making it up, or they're, you know, just seeing things that aren't there. And so as a young child, I feel to tell you just a story of, I was probably about 10 years old and was coming home from school, and I had a friend coming over. And at that time, you know, parents would let their kids stay alone for a couple of hours. We're not as afraid. Well, we're much more afraid now. I have a 10-year-old myself, and I wouldn't imagine him walking home from school and staying at home by himself, but that's what I was doing. And I had a friend over, and we had let ourselves into the house, and I had a key to get into the house. And we were in the house for a few minutes, but we'd only kind of gone in the entryway in the kitchen. And then all of a sudden I realized I didn't have the key, and I didn't hang it up where it belonged, and I didn't know where it was. And so I was like, well, where is my key, right? This is a 10-year-old. And I'm thinking, oh no, I'm going to get in such trouble for losing this key, right? My parents are going to be so angry with me. I've got to find this key, and really frantic about where is this key. And I don't know why I knew to do this, but I went with my friend into the living room where we hadn't been, and I sat on the couch across from her. And I said, okay, let's just close our eyes. We're going to hold our hands together and just ask, like, where is the key? and as we both joined hands, we shut our eyes. And at the same moment, we saw this figure in white go across, you know, our span of vision, our inner span of vision. And it's just completely shocked. There were a pile of newspapers in between us on the couch, and I, for some reason, had the instinct to lift them up. And when I lifted them up, the key was there. So, and we hadn't been in there before, and there was no logical reason that the key should have somehow gotten to the, never had touched the newspapers or anything like that. So when you have things like that happen to you from a young age, and you know that if you tell other people, especially adults, about them, they'd scoff and say, oh, well, you know, you must have forgot, or it must have dropped out of your pocket or whatever. You grow up feeling pretty isolated and alone, and not appreciating what I later recognized as a gift, this thing that makes you different from everybody else. And then understanding things that don't come from books and don't necessarily come from other people. And where are they coming from? Well, they're coming from within, or from your connection to the divine, or to spirit, what have you, universe.
How did you bridge that identity as a child, which, you know, was somewhat secret, but you did have this one person who you could sort of be fully yourself with, right? Which is fabulous. But how did you bridge that to the adult version of yourself? Because I know for me in particular, identifying as, like you said, a smart person who makes good grades and is a good kid and, you know, is intellectually valued, you know, the grades were a big currency for me throughout my life, you know, like making good grades was what my job was. That's what my dad used to always tell me. And so, you know, one of the things that I personally went through was a period of, you know, a disconnect between, you know, this intellectual, serious person that I wanted to be perceived as and valued as, and this other side of myself, like you said, that I didn't get from education and I didn't necessarily get from other people. It just came from, you know, within. How did that, I guess what I'm asking is how you came out, you know, as an adult to sort of become that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going back to that core story, which was kind of getting to eventually down the road a bit, right? But growing up and then as a teenager, having other sorts of what we would call supernatural experiences, right? And not having context and not understanding and not really having, you know, any mentors to talk to about it. Back in the day, you know, this is before the age of the internet, right? So there wasn't, you know, you could maybe... I lived in a small town in rural Alberta in Canada, and we had Calgary, which is a fairly large city, you know, half an hour away, but there wasn't a lot, like you could go to church, right? But there weren't a lot of places you could go to understand this stuff in a different context. I know that eventually maybe I found a New Age bookstore when I was in university in Edmonton, and started reading some stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, well, a lot of this stuff, I remember, I don't know if you remember these authors or not. You probably, if something tells me, you will know who they are. But Sanaya Raman, do you know who that is?
The name kind of rings a bell.
Okay. Well,
don't quiz me live knowledge.
No, but I remember I got these books and several of the titles, I'm looking at them on my bookshelf right here. Personal Power Through Awareness, Living with Joy, Opening to Channel, Spiritual Growth. So I started, you know, getting some context by reading, right? And seeing that there were stuff out there that I really resonated with that were part of my experience, and then getting context to those. And I think, you know, when the time the Celestine Prophecy came out, I was on to that and trying to educate myself. I think as a young child, reading about ESP and reading about things of that nature, recollecting past lives and all that sort of stuff, whatever books I could get my hands on is what I, you know, I tried to educate myself and get context that way. And at the same time, still felt like, okay, so what am I going to do about all this? And who am I going to talk to about all this? And sometimes there'd be like my friend, you know, that I could talk to in pieces about this sort of thing, although we didn't quite share the same abilities of perception, whatnot. But, you know, there would be some people along the way, but no real feeling of like mentorship or a framework or you know, direct connection with somebody that could really provide a touchstone for me about all this stuff. So until now, you know, being in the type A world, I graduated from university. I got recruited for this really exclusive investment banking program and started working for one of the, you know, the biggest and most prestigious banking institutions in Canada. And was on this sort of career path of being an investment banker and financial, the whole financial world and trading and all this sort of stuff, high rolling financial stuff, and was rolling down that path and had some hiccups on it. Also had some success and got to do a bit of traveling with it. I worked in New York in the early 90s in the financial district, and eventually end up finding my way over to Switzerland. And I was a currency trader trading the German mark against the Swiss franc when the German mark was a currency they actually used over there. And ended up working for, well, that's another story altogether, so I'm not going to go down that tangent, but I didn't end up working for the bank that I was supposed to work for. I worked for this really cool financial research company that had PhD physicists and software companies, or software programmers from California, and people from all around the world working in this think tank and looking at financial data in terms of what I would say is like, well, concepts from physics, but they're also spiritual concepts, things like fractal theory and intrinsic time, and using that to predict financial markets. So that was the core of our work over there. At the same time, so I'm finding this kind of bridge between the financial world and then some underlying reality and deeper truths that are coming into our ability to predict the future through understanding data and through understanding physics. And while I was there, and that was, you know, a trip in all of it in itself, I certainly never expected to be in a position like I was in over there. The company was really, really unique, and I feel very blessed and grateful for the experience that I had over there. But part of that as well was the birth of the internet around that time. And I remember very well the development of Mosaic and, you know, being able to browse the internet, which was, you know, something that existed, but we really couldn't take advantage of or access that much until that time. And because we were a think tank and because we were kind of bridging finance and technology with consulting, that was something that our company, you know, we were very technology focused. And I don't know how it happened, but somewhere, I don't know, someday, maybe after work, or I had some downtime and was bored, I was surfing online, and I came across this website called Spirit Web. And so in my search and interest in spirituality, I'm like, aha, this is interesting. And it was this hub of a huge collection of spiritual articles, of people that had channeled information. It was like a mecca. It was like a grocery store, you know, for me, of like spiritual, a wealth of spiritual knowledge, of things that I could dip into that I felt resonance with, and was so, I don't know, it was so gratifying to stumble across that. And not only that, it was also connected to people. Like, there were people that were writing articles and things like that, and there was the person that created this site in the first place. And I decided I was going to click on what was called the RKM corner on that site. And I clicked on this link, and this image came up. And it was basically the outline of a face, but not very human-looking face, not very delineated, it's like a light face, and half of it, and the rest in a very dark background. So a feeling of something from out of this world. And it just, when I looked at that face, I just felt this resonance, like, this is so familiar to me. I know this energy or this being, or I just know this, and I don't know why I know it. And so the RKM corner was actually the section of the site where the website founder was doing his writing. and his name is Rene Mueller. And I was like, oh, well, there's an actual person here behind this, and I'm going to write to them and just, you know, thank them for creating this and aggregating all this information and express my gratitude and appreciation and connect with him. And I started to email with him back and forth, and I had all these questions because I'd never really had anybody until then that I could ask questions about, all these things that I seemed to know about inherently but didn't have a frame of reference for besides the books. And we had a very lively conversation. And I said to him, I was like, oh, it's just so great. I mean, it'd be really great if you know, we could continue this conversation. He said, well, we could meet if you want. And I said, we could meet. What do you mean we could meet? You know, here I am in Zurich, Switzerland, right? And I'm online. I'm accessing the world of information through the internet finally. And he's like, well, yeah, I'm at the ETH, which is the, you know, the technical university in, and he was working at the technical university in Switzerland. He says, oh, yeah, I'm here. And so I was like, whoa, you're kidding me. You're actually in Zurich. I mean, what are the chances that I would, you know, be on this sort of spiritual path my entire life, not really have a context for it, you know, just be, move over to Europe, working in this crazy think tank, and that I would meet you. And from there, from through that relationship, basically, I guess all of my concepts were both confirmed, and then the lid was blown off everything at the same time. Because when we met and through our relationship, I'd recognized somebody that I knew deeply on a soul level, without knowing them physically in this lifetime. And through our, conversations and experiences together, a lot of, things that I knew to be true and things that I knew about myself were confirmed and affirmed. And I got to learn so much more, not through him, not like he is a teacher mentor, although, you know, he absolutely is that. But through my being able to be in the presence of somebody that I could share what my gifts are and have them be mirrored back to me.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. That's huge. Yeah. I tell everyone that I mentor, one of the things that really makes the biggest difference is just simply having peers in a world that for most people has been very isolating up to that point. And, you know, and thank God for the internet, because it does allow us to sort of coexist in this dimension where we can be close. But most people who feel the way that you do, and probably myself and others who are listening, it is isolating. You know, we're spread very thinly through the population for the most part. Wouldn't it be cool if we all lived in the same place? But then the rest of the world would go to hell, I like to think.
Yeah.
We've been purposefully dispersed through the population for a reason. But there's a synchronicity around your story for me, and I won't go into it because I've already recorded it, but one of those kind, I call them stranger angels, these people that are, you know, that seem to be fated to, you know, intersect with your path at a certain time and place, and they impart some information or give you some kind of clue. But you know, there's that aspect of it. And then there's also just the aspect of that first time that you realize you don't have to start sentences with, I know you think this sounds crazy, right? But you know, like you can finally remove that from your vocabulary, and, and being able to have conversations with someone else who's doing what you do, regardless of what it is, it's just huge, right? So what did that experience do to your identity as an investment financial predictor, right, banking person?
Yeah, great question. Well, I'm somebody that builds bridges, right? So I believe that it was set up just in a perfect way, because at the same time, while I was, you know, in that world of finance and advising financial risk managers and institutions and things like that, there were also this undercurrent of the spiritual topics coming into our work, right? So the fellow that started Fractal Theory, would come into our office, right? And we'd have conversations about intrinsic time, which is really giving a different framework for time and outside of linear time. And it's more of an experience time. So weighting time according to the emotional impact of a moment versus just, you know, second by second, minute by minute, right? So that's called intrinsic time. And we were analyzing data to see, you know, the impact of events would have and then how those events would ripple out into the future. So I started, like I said, I build bridges, and I think there was a bridge sort of set up in my life right there that, you know, within this whole financial world, there are still deeper truths. And I was in a position where I was in a company. Well, I don't think there was, not everybody would talk about these things from a spiritual perspective. I had Renee, who I could discuss these things with. And the founder of the company was a visionary and was doing things very, very differently. We would have, you know, we had our kind of global village of people there, and we had this beautiful office of building looking over the Zurichsee, the Lake of Zurich, and with, you know, floor to ceiling windows, and we had this common area. It was like, you know, all these the IT companies nowadays, what they're going for, but this was 20 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. With, you know, the brick and the open office space and very light filled space. And, oh, you know, we're working together, so I can see my two coworkers. I'm not like in a cubicle or anything like that. And then we're having lunch together. We had an Italian cook who would make us lunch so that we as a company could eat together, right? So these kinds of things were going on. It's a new sort of culture, a visionary culture. It was really supportive of me to start, I guess, to express what I knew, which I get on an intuitive level, to somebody that was receptive. I had, you know, the founder of the company would call me into his office and ask me what was going on, right? And I said, he's talking about the dynamics between people. He's talking about, you know, where are people with this product? Like, what do I need to do to kind of unite people and to get things to move forward? And I could talk about things that I would get strictly from, you know, just from my intuitive gifts and share them with him, and he would appreciate them and, you know, follow through on actions that I'd recommend. And I was really acknowledged for that. So I found somewhere that I could share the information I was receiving and could succeed in that environment for that. Right. So that's the bridge. It's not, I'm not just being rewarded for being a quick thinker, right? And for responding and synthesizing information, which I was in the, as an investment banker, but I was being rewarded for my ability to, kind of read between the lines, see behind the scenes, and to share that, so that action could be carried out and productive, you know, that we could grow as a company and do really cool things. And I had an ally there as well. You know, this is a different company when you go for an interview and part of your interview process, and this is back in the 90s, right? So this is like, you know, nowadays they might do stuff like this, but back then it was really something that was not going on. But I had to provide a handwriting sample, right? So that she's a graphologist, she could, the company, what we called her, the company coach, could analyze and see if I would be a fit for that environment, right? And she was called the company coach. She was a psychotherapist. And we would have one day a week where we would go, well, the skeptics in the bunch would say, well, we went down into the basement and just like laid on mats and went to sleep for half an hour. But we basically did guided meditation, right? And she'd lead us on these journeys and whatnot. And I had an ally in her because she was also an intuitive and would come to me and say, because she was also consulting the founder of the company, would come to me and say, well, what's happening? What do you think of this? And what do you think, you know, what is the motivation between this person and how can we reach them? And how can, you know, and I would have ideas of all this because I was in the ground and on the ground and within the dynamics of everything. And so through her, I could share what I was seeing. We could, you know, chat about it and laugh about it. And I had like an ally and then I had an outlet, right? So it was really, really good for me there to when I was getting context for my spiritual gifts through my relationship with Renee, to have also an avenue where I could use them.
I'd like to hear about, so you have a website called Leader's Call to Adventure. Is that also the name of the podcast?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes.
Tell us about what that is, because I mean, I can feel and sort of already begin to see these emerging threads of where you came from and how that relates to what you do now. So just for the sake of other people being able to find you and connect more with how they can plug into this, I suppose this is where they would do that, right?
That's right. Yeah. Through my podcast or through my website. Sure. Well, the official sort of birthing of this, like of my intuitive work under this name happened in 2011. I've been working as an intuitive prior to that, but not under this umbrella. It all started as a result of, I think what I've realized in reflection, you know, going into this like 5-6 years later, is that it was like the trifecta of three major branches of my being, which are spirituality, leadership, and adventure, right? Leadership in the fact that I think as visionaries and as people that see things that are, you know, different than the, you know, the common sort of perception of things, that we in ourselves, in our natures are leaders and visionaries, because we envision, we see things that are not there, right? Not physically there, right? But we see into the future, or we're able to sense these things and communicate these things. I guess it was like trying to figure out like what is the form of this work, right? What is like, you know, how do I define and differentiate myself? What is my niche and all that stuff? We go through all this stuff. It was spiritual marketing, right? And identified that, you know, my niche, because prior to focusing on that work and alongside focusing on all that work, I was also working as a producer, producing videos for CEOs of like major companies and stuff like that, right? And doing videos like to honor them when they're retiring from a company, or somebody that's, you know, a multimillionaire wants to honor a family member, and basically, you know, instead of just the greeting card, they're going to do a video on this person. It's going to be done at some party or something like that. So I've been doing this and in the realm of leaders, right? And having to do research to understand who they were and what made them who they were and what characterized them and, you know, what was behind their success, right? So this sort of thing of like working with leaders have been following me in the investment banking as well. I was always working with people in management or high-level risk managers or very wealthy people that were managing their money, that sort of thing. And it was just something that kind of surrounded me in that sense, kind of in a physical sense. But, you know, in the spiritual sense, I really found my tribe, my community amongst people like yourself who had successfully navigated life and still had like this deeper sort of calling as to, you know, what their purpose was and what they're doing in the world and how to leverage all of that they are to be of service in the world, right? So it just kind of was this sort of perfect storm of meeting people at the right time and, you know, finding that I could really be of service to people that also support others. Right. And through the work that I do and the work itself unfolded, it wasn't like I had this sort of mastermind, you know, this is what I'm going to do. You know, this is my market, you know, and I'm just going to cater towards that. It just unfolded as I would have do my work with people. And there's the common ground that we're all human beings and we all have to navigate the obstacles of life. And as leaders, whether we're leaders in the business world or visionaries, visionary entrepreneurs, we don't always have, like we're expected to have the answers. And it might also be part of this type A stuff, right? Is that, you know, we want to feel like we have the answers and that we can offer guidance to others, right? And it's not always, we're not always, we don't always allow ourselves to be vulnerable to say, well, hey, you know what? I could use some support too, right?
Let me ask you something. What message do you think, because, you know, I heard some things in there when you were talking about that whole idea of like spiritual marketing and, you know, defining yourself. And I mean, I've personally made the observation that all the things that felt like tangents were kind of these puzzle pieces, you know, that you collect. And at some point they actually do make sense when you sort of find that golden thread and you're like, oh, that's why I spent all that time doing audio engineer work when I was, you know, in my early 20s or whatever. And, you know, you find these little tasks that you did and they seemed almost like maybe dead ends or random tangents or whatever. And then they all, you know, will come back together later at the point where you have the perspective to put them together. But as you're, you know, processing all that and also guiding other people through that process, what do you think is missing from this sort of personal development, new age world? I mean, this thing that we're creating right now, you know, like what is it do you think that either doesn't get said or maybe needs to be reinforced a little bit more? Does anything come to mind?
Absolutely. This is the thing that's really been on my mind. And it's something that, you know, when you and I discussed me coming on the podcast, right? And I said to you, it's all about surrender and trust right now, right? And I think this is, it's like the antithesis of masterminding things, right? It's, and then it is that all the pieces do come together when you allow yourself to give it over, right? You know, so I would say that's something that's missing right now is that, you know, in our busy lives, in our feelings of like, well, you know, in order to be successful, we have to do X, Y, and Z, right? And, you know, these are the things that we have to do in order to make progress. We often forget, and even in spiritual circles, right? The law of attraction, this thing is, well, if only, you know, and I've got a vision board, I'm looking at it right now, right? But we just need to be clear so that we can manifest, right? That for me, I think at a certain point, and I think honestly, the more kind of aware you get, that it becomes more of a challenge to do that sort of direct manifesting because it's the ego that's in control of that. Like what, like, you know, creating this so that I can be happy, right? Or that I can be successful or that I can enjoy my life or whatever, right? You know, all these little pieces of things outside of ourselves that we think we need in order to feel fulfilled, right? That somehow if we're not creating according to that model, that there's something wrong with us and that we're flawed. What I feel that we really need to do is surrender to the divine and really allow ourselves to trust that, yes, we have a purpose and yes, the divine can flow through us. And that in that process of the divine flowing through us, that we will receive the gifts of life, right? The happiness, the joy, the fulfillment, the contentment, and all those things, right? Whereas before we felt if only we did all these things right, then we would have it.
Well, so I'm looking at the time and I want to make sure that we tell people how we can find you online.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me online. So the website that I had mentioned that I started back in 2011 is www.leaderscalltoadventure.com. And I also have my own personal website, which is www.loriference.com. That's LORIFERENCE. And I'd done a whole bunch of interviews and have been basically publishing them on my website and then taking them off after a period of months and then putting new ones on. And, you know, to credit you, Slade, because when I saw you coming out there with your podcast and getting it on iTunes, it really inspired me, right? So to find a home for that, people are going to be able to find my stuff on iTunes by the time this interview comes out. So you can find me on iTunes under Leaders Call to Adventure. And I'd just love for you to come check it out and hear the stories of those that have also been on the road less traveled and find out how they've navigated the challenges and, celebrated successes on that road.
That's awesome. I'll put all the links in the show notes where people can just click and go straight to your website and to the podcast to check it out. And it means a lot that I was a catalyst for you putting the podcast back out there on iTunes. It's very cool. I'm excited about that. Thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you're new to podcasts, it's that purple button on your iPhone. Click it, search Shift Your Spirits, and hit subscribe. Then all the episodes will be there for you automatically, and you can take them with you to the gym or listen in your car or on your walks in nature. That's what I love about podcasts. Also, if you want to support the show, please leave me a rating and a review in iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts and share it with some friends you think would be into it. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, check out automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for a few seconds right now. Now is not the time to second guess yourself. If you're seeing signs that the time to act is now, then do it. Make your move, because it's much more likely to work out in your favor if you take a bold action than if you continue to wait and consider and think about it and dither. You've got to take responsibility for shaping your own reality and the consequences of being in charge of your own life. This is connected to your personal truth. If you're acting in a way that's true to yourself, you will be supported in becoming whole and claiming the abundance you deserve. I'll talk to you later.